You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Become a Cleveland Browns season ticket member today. Secure the best seats at the best prices with flexible payment plans available. Don't miss the excitement at First Energy Stadium this fall with home matchups against the Broncos, 49ers, Cardinals, Redskins, Steelers, Bengals, Ravens, and more. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 for more information. That's 440-824-3434. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And before we hear from Terrell Pryor, we're going to go to the phones. And right now we've got Aaron in West Park. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Guys, I'm a huge fan of the show. You guys do such a great job. It's so nice, like they were saying about the positivity. The Browns are definitely a team that it can be really easy to get down on them and, like, just to stay down. And just to have you guys as kind of positive opinions, like, hey, you know, it's not the end of the world and some of the stuff going on. It's been super helpful.
Good.
So, appreciate it.
We like it. The power of positivity, the attitude of gratitude. And listen, I'm not going to – if I'll tell you when I see things that I was, you know, not that enamored with today. And I'll tell you when there are things that I'm not optimistic about for this team. Right now, I do feel good about this defense. I feel good about this offensive line. I think one thing that I noticed, and I'm curious to see if you notice it as well, or maybe I'm just out of my mind. But
you are, but sorry.
Crow, I know he had a couple issues in individual drills. He dropped a couple balls, nothing in the team drills. He just looks so much more natural on his tracks this year than he did last year. His footwork seems smoother. He hasn't tripped or gotten that kind of falling forward like he did a lot last year.
Right.
Once.
And I agree, and I think that, you know, for Wilbert Montgomery, probably on his checkout meeting, you know, at the end of last season, and every good coach always gives a young budding player, a young budding star, a checklist or a work list of what I want to see you improve on. From that point, from January until, you know, what, April or May when he came back for OTAs, and then through the mini camps, and then an additional checklist of, okay, you're here, finalize these things for training camp. And I would think Wilbert Montgomery would be honest enough to say, you could be our guy. You could be that guy. And that's why you get every opportunity. I don't know what that was. That's why you get every opportunity.
It's like a gong from
the
heavens.
I was like, are we getting like a Buddha calling
God?
Us or something? So, and I just think if I knew my, and that's what our coaches did. They gave us what they'd like to see us work on, and it was up to you, both in the building and out of the building, to help address that, to make you a better football player, and in some cases, elongate your career and give you a sure shot to make that football team and be a contributor.
You know, what a difference a year makes. Last year, every network was here for training, first day of training camp, to see Johnny Manziel. Now he's working with the second team. Your thoughts on his performance? Because G.I. George hit us up, Bob Rose in Cleveland. Your thoughts on Johnny Manziel today?
I will go give it a – I don't want to be – again, we just got two calls about being negative, and I don't want to be negative. So I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, I give Johnny a 6 coming out of the gates. Wasn't overly impressive. I think for you and I, if he would have been, it would have been one of our key takeaways.
Yes.
It was not. And I thought, you know, at times he looks small in the pocket. You know, when that collapses, it looks like they're rushing in on my son. That's just how he is. And you can tell, though, that through his work with Gruden and in this offense with John DeFilippo, that he wants to stand in there. They're almost as if remember the year Urban Meyer took over and Braxton Miller was like, you're throwing the football,
you know, run
three times before you're going to run with the football. So
yeah.
I could see that wheel churning in Johnny's head today. And in some cases, it's, you know, a broken down play, a bum screen, you know, a last second launch that I think ended up in a Vince Mailey drop or almost an interception. So not the best day out of the gates, but it's day one. As you said, guys are still getting their legs underneath them. And for him, it's hard to go get 10 of your buddies or 11 of your buddies to line up in front of you and play offense and 11 other buddies to rush you as a passer when you practice away from this building. So give him some time.
I would say that the optimist would say there was a particular play where he had pressure, went through three reads, and ended up hitting Kevin Cohn on a flag route that was a very good read and a very good throw. The throw to Maley was a very good throw, but it was dropped. He also, at times, looked like you could see the wheels turning, going through its progressions, got a little bit kind of, and almost stalls out. He had a couple passes batted down today. But for the most, I think it was a mixed bag. And I wouldn't say it was necessarily his best day.
It was a mixed bag, and I know we were going to get to, you know, the Terrell Pryor interview here in a minute, but just the one other thing that I would want to do if I were in his situation, and I had an opportunity to talk to Tony Rizzo from the Really Big Show on ESPN Cleveland, like in one of his breaks, and I just said, do you remember when you used to play backyard football and used to draw up those routes on your hand and give everybody their route, but then you go back to your lead wide receiver, the guy that's your baller, and you're going to go, dude, press him inside and turn it out, and I'll have the ball right there on your outside shoulder. It's like, if I were I just want to see him drop back and deliver that football on time to the baller that he's playing with in the second group, whether it's Maley, whether it's Pryor, and just deliver it on time and be deliberate. Everyone knows probably where it's going, and with his strong arm and that route, it can't be stopped.
Get it in there
and
anyway.
Because it's a confidence builder for him. It's a confidence builder for all the twos for that wide receiver, and allows us to continue to be optimistic that, okay, when he's on time and he can deliver the football, he looks like a pro quarterback.
And he had a tough time today because there was a discrepancy between that second-team O-line and, of course, the second-team D-line. I thought kind of somebody asked who looked better, Manziel or Shaw. It's very difficult to say one versus the other when it's second-team versus third-team. But Connor Shaw is what Connor Shaw is. He's going to know the playbook. He's going to look like he can go through his progressions. He's going to make a good decision with the football. He just doesn't have the arm that inspires a ton of confidence at this level. He throws what you would call a big ball.
He does.
But Connor Shaw is very competent within his skill set. Johnny Manziel's ceiling remains significantly higher. And again, there's one play where he went through his reads, third progression, made a good, strong throw under pressure. But at the same time, there were plays where he wasn't able to go through the reads quickly enough, process the information, and look kind of like he got stuck. So it wasn't his best day. It was not as good, by the way, as I thought he was at the end of minicamp, but we'll see as things go on, and I can't wait to see him with the pads on, and maybe they'll open things up for him and let him, you know, utilize his feet a little bit more in those situations. So we'll see.
Yeah,
with
it's
that.
Part of who he is.
We told you earlier we were going to hear from Terrell Pryor after his first day as a wide receiver in the Browns training camp, and here's what Terrell Pryor had to say.
You talk to some of the vets, you know, they said, you know, they saw a lot of like, positives. You know, there's obviously there's some things I need to work on, you know, because, you know, I'm far off right now. But I'm learning from, you know, guys like Dwayne Bowe, you know, Brian Hartline, you know, all the receiving core. Coach has been a big help, you know, the quarterbacks as well. So that's all I could do is every single day plug away, get 1% better at this position and see where it goes.
What are they telling you? The good advice?
Josh McCown just came up to me. He just said, you know, hey, man, you look real good. You know, just stay confident. You caught the ball very well. Just use your speed like you've been doing. And, you know, everything will go well. He said, just keep stacking the days. You know, he's a great leader. And, you know, I could relate because I played that position for 4 or 5 years. And, you know, I thought it was, you know, I thought that was positive, you know, just to get some feedback, you know. And when we get in the film room, I learn even more.
Do you get the sense that you have to take that position out of your persona in order to make the team as a receiver? Or is there still a bit of you that wants to be the other
guy? You know what? As of right now, I mean, and just it's what Coach Pett wants, and, you know, Mr. Farmer brought me in for, you know, Coach Flip. You know, they believe that I could be an outstanding receiver, you know, if I put the time in and work hard and if I believe myself, you know. So all I want to do is do whatever I can to help the Browns. And, you know, I'm happy to be back in Ohio, you know, close to Columbus, and that's it.
Did you just wake up with Antonio Brown and Randy Moss and Josh Gordon, all those workouts you did during what was basically summer vacation for a lot of other guys? How much did that ultimately prepare you to come in here and look like he actually fit in at that position?
Yeah, I just think, you know, for me, you know, learning from Randy, you know, he's one of the best to ever do it. Antonio Brown's just busted record right now in the NFL, and he's one of my very good friends, you know, and I happen to end up being good friends with Randy, you know, and then Josh as well, you know. I think he's a phenomenal talent. So, you know, having those guys and even seeing Mike Evans, you know, with their size besides Antonio, to see how they're getting out of their cuts, you know, they could help me, you know, because I could kind of see it. Like, I learn on the field and I watch visual on the field, so when those big guys, you know, 6'4", 6'5", like myself, and I see them doing that, it helps out a lot. You know, especially from all pros and, you know, Hall of Fame guy, you know, so it helps out a lot.
Did you just wake up one morning
and yesterday, Dante Whitner and Brian Hartline, and they almost to a man, they were all saying, this is a tall order, this is a tall task, this is going to be very challenging for him, we're not going to make it easy on him. What do you make of things like that?
Man, you know, I wake up every day, you know, one for one, you know, I bless, you know, I say my prayers to God. And, you know, I think about my son. And at the end of the day, I know if I have those two beliefs and loves, you know, I could do anything I want. You know, it's just to be the extra work and the effort, you know, and really pushing forward. I think we can all obtain our goals, you know, but it's the effort and how you go about that task. So, you know, I'm very happy to be here because these guys in the locker room are phenomenal, you know, and I think it's great chemistry, and I love being here.
How about your decision to abandon being a quarterback? Did you just wake up one morning and say, this isn't working, I should be a wide receiver? Take us through that.
No, I just, you know, I just think things happen, you know. You know, it's just, you know, and whether it's in life, you know, there's politics in life, there's different things that go on, you know. Everywhere I've been after the Raiders, you know, it's been a guy that's been drafted, you know, or getting paid a lot of money, and then they just drafted a second guy. And it's, you know, when it gets into that thing, you know, you don't really get a lot of reps. And I believe to play quarterback in this league and be very successful is you have to have a lot of reps. You have to, you know, and there's not a lot that really separates guys but reps, you know, mm-hmm. and the experience. So when I just really realized, you know, I'm not going to ever get, you know, the reps that the one is getting, you know, and it's impossible for me to do it. So why not try? Use my ability that God gave me. And that's kind of how I did it. And Mr. Farmer and Coach Flip, you know, when I came and talked to them, they were excited and said, you know, there's different ways they could use me. And so we'll see how it goes, you know.
Terrell, will this have to happen fast? Will you have to show them that this is worth the look and the investment?
I think Like Brian and Dante said, you know, it's a tough task, you know, it's a tall task. I know that. But, you know, that's anybody competitive, you know, like you guys or my teammates or anybody, you know, that's competitive, you know, it's what you chase after, you know. When you have a very tough task and something that's so steep, you know, that makes you want to pursue it and go harder, you know. So I think that's where my mindset is at right now, and just, you know, asking a lot of questions, being humble and being a sponge, you know, and really taking in everybody's word. And I think that if I just keep on going on that, it gives myself the best chance to possibly do it.
You know? Ken, so, how much do you football is when you're just out, you're running routes, there's not a lot of contact, you're not having to worry about maybe someone blowing you up? Mm-hmm. How do you think you're going to handle that, though, when you get into that live action? And
see, that's a good question, but I don't really think it'll be a huge deal, you know, because I dropped back and I've had concussions, got knocked out. I've been hit, you know, and guys, I don't know where you're coming, and I'm relaxed, you know. And so I don't think it's going to be a big deal. It's gonna really, and especially if I see I got to see the field when the ball snaps. So my eyes got to be up, see the field, okay, this guy's coming, but I got to also have focus and that understanding of, you know, the ball's coming and I got to focus in on it, you know, grab it. And then if I take a hit, you know, but just try to protect yourself and play ball. I've been playing since I was 4 years old. So.
Were you just issued that number?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Are you already telling the QBs you're open on every play?
If we got go ball, I'll be good to go, man.
Hey, Terrell, can you talk about going back to the shoe next week? How special that will be to go back?
Absolutely. You know, I just, you know, anytime, you know, that I can step on the field, and, you know, and especially now, you know, playing for the Browns, you know, especially being so close. Anytime I could get on the field, really, no matter where I'm at, I take it very serious. I take my craft very serious. So, you know, the Browns give me an opportunity to go out there and especially go to my, you know, my old stomping grounds, you know. That's very exciting, and I'm very fortunate, you know, to have the opportunity, and I'm excited.
Was there something that you had, we obviously know when you, the announcement came out about trying a receiver, but you thought about it at all before that, before the Bengals? And secondly, was it a kind of a humbling moment when you realized that this was going to be the way that you had to do it?
You know, like I said to the gentleman right here, you know, like, I'm a realist, you know, and I understand how life works, and I'm not going to keep on pursuing something, you know, and turn 30 years old and 32, and then I have no chance. You know, so why not use the God-given ability that I have? You know, I have a lot, and I try to, you know, keep on, you know, there's a lot of all pros in here, you know, from Joe Hayden, you know, to Dante Whitner, to, you know, we got guys like Dwayne Bowe Hartline in there, you know, and there's just guys that I can learn from, you know, and guys that could teach me. And if, like I said, I believe I could do it, you know, it's just going to take a lot of hard work and focus.
Terrell, athletically, where do you think you could gain an advantage out there athletically?
I just think I'm big, and I just don't think a lot of guys can run with me. I really don't.
Speaking of Hartline and looking back to your first year at Ohio State, it was his last year, so obviously you'd have some memories of working with him. What were your impressions of him then and now?
I always saw Heartline, even at our, it was funny because after we were running our conditioning test yesterday, and he's the same with Heartline, you know. I was like, all right, I'm going to come out here and I'm going to win all of them. And he, you know, is right beside me the whole time. So he's, you know, he's a Buckeye, he's a grinder, and he sets a good foundation, you know, for the Browns, you know, as a leader. So definitely happy to learn from him.
Do you feel any vibe by any chance of, you know, a wide receiver room? These guys have been doing this their whole entire lives. I mean, is there any vibe from anybody at all, like, hey, what makes you think you can walk in here and be a wide receiver in 1 month when we've been practicing at this forever?
You know what? I don't even know if I can answer that. You know, it's just, I don't know. You know, I just got to put my best foot forward and just learn as much as possible from these guys. I mean, they're pros and they've been doing it from, you know, college, got drafted, and it's a tough task. It's a tall task, and I'm all for it, you know. And all I could do is stay in the book, stay in it mentally, and play physical, and just give my best effort. That's all I could do. And we can only control what we can control in this world, and especially in our world. So at the end of the day, that's all.
Do you think the toughest part of the transition is going to be route running? You know, can you, when you think about making that switch, what do you think you have to focus on the most?
The hands part's not going to be a problem. The hands part, running, I think it's just going to be, you know, just, you know how, like, you know, pretty much, what's your name?
Mary Kay.
Okay, I kind of like how Mary Kay said it, you know, what makes you think that you could walk in here, you know, but these guys, there's different things, like detail, like their savviness, you know, different moves, you know, like cutting down a split on a play that, but in the book it says it's supposed to be like this, line up here, but, you know, just because you could be a little savvy with it, you know, so they have that upper hand on that, you know, so that's just something that I think I need to work on and be able to pay attention to and try to grasp as fast as possible. To not give the route away, and help myself get to the route.
What's your relationship with Flip and having worked with him in the past? Do you think that can help this transition?
I think, you know, just seeing the playbook is pretty simple. You know, like even right now, some of the young guys in the receiving room that don't, you know, they kind of don't know a lot of the plays, and they ask me because I know I've had this offense for 3 years, so I pretty much know, you know, the ins and outs of it. So. I think that's a positive. I mean, we could take that definitely as a positive. It's, at least I'm not learning a whole new playbook.
Was there any disappointment at all that Flip, having seen you at quarterback, didn't consider you still a quarterback?
Like I said, there's a lot of things that go into it, you know. They have four guys, four good, very good quarterbacks in my eyes, and guys that I think that can play quarterback, so... Why not? You know, why not? You know, you got a 6'5" guy. He knows I can run, and why not try to learn from those guys and the guys in the locker room and see what we can accomplish? You never know what could happen. So, you know, like just to touch back on it, I think we have four great quarterbacks, and you know, why make another move? And you know, when the talk was about the receiver thing, you know, they jumped on it and they believed in it. So I believe in our quarterbacks, and I believe in the guys in this locker room. So
being a Pittsburgh guy, were you a young guy? Were you aware of what Cordell Stewart went through? And he was obviously came into the league, made the Pro Bowl as an athlete, but never really wanted to be a wide receiver.
Yeah.
And his career kind of slowly petered out. Did you talk to him, or did you know his story?
No, because, you know, like you said, you know, he kind of didn't want to be a receiver. You know, so if you're going to do something, no matter what it is, you got to do it wholeheartedly, or it's time to do it, get out. So anytime you see me on the field, when I know exactly what's going on, you're going to see full effort and you're going to see me go all out, you know, because that's all I got, you know, and that's what I want to do. I want to try to be a great receiver, as great as I can be.
That's Terrell Pryor certainly saying the right things, looked like he was doing the right things out on the football field earlier today. And one thing I want to touch on real quickly, Matt, Josh Gordon invited him down to that Randy Moss camp to work out with him. I think that Josh Gordon staying out of the news, Josh Gordon still working out this offseason, being at the Moss camp, working with Terrell Pryor to help the Browns, make the Browns better. Maybe I'm just the eternal optimist when it comes to number 12, but I think those are all very positive signs.
They are, and I think that for Josh Gordon, the key thing jumps away. He didn't have to call Terrell Pryor. He didn't have to reach out to him. I don't know. They might have known each other in passing, But I would think that Josh Gordon would have had to seek out his number or to communicate with him some way, whether it's Twitter, you know, Instagram, Facebook, phone message, text, whatever it was, that Josh Gordon took the initiative to reach out to Terrell Pryor, A, because he probably respects him as a big physical wide receiver, B, because he's potentially playing for the, you know, the employer of Josh Gordon and has been the employer of Josh Gordon, the Cleveland Browns, and he wants to see good happen here in Cleveland.
Yes, he does. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, as he sums up what he saw on the first day of Browns training camp.